Good morning, fellowship, and Merry Christmas. My name is Lee, and I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship Church, and it is my delight to bring God's word to you this morning in this Advent season. So one thing I've been thinking through this Advent season is, when is it appropriate to start saying Merry Christmas? You know, the stores start putting Christmas decorations and stuff out. It feels like 4th of July now. It's definitely right after Halloween, but you can't say Merry Christmas then, even though you start seeing it, you start feeling a little festive. Thanksgiving's still coming. You can't leave that guy out. But we start decorating the week before Thanksgiving nowadays. But you just got to hold on. Just wait. Just hold. Then Thanksgiving comes, and you got like the day or two after where you're still feeling a little groggy from all the food you ate. So I personally have decided December 1st is I'm going to start saying Merry Christmas on December 1st. And I started that this week with a few people, and I get some funny looks. But it's the Advent season. It is Christmas season. It's all around us. Todd's got his inflatable up. I mean, it is here. And in reality, it's the Advent season. It's what we're looking forward to. It's the season that we, as followers of Jesus, celebrate his first coming as a babe in a manger, and we look forward to his second coming in power. And you can't really say Merry Advent. So we say Merry Christmas, December 1st. I give you all full blessing. Start saying it. So now that is settled, here we are in the Advent season. And this year, our series, this Advent, as Scott said earlier, I'm going to say some of it again, is Advent in the Psalms, Christ for every longing heart. Every longing heart as referenced in the hymn by the writer Charles Wesley, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Now, I really think Charles Wesley, even though it was back in the 1700s, had some Southern in him. If you listen to that song, it is the longest short hymn that we have. He just drags it out. Come thou long expected. I wasn't planning on singing that, but it just came out. I wasn't going to sing it, but I did. See, our hearts long and ache for Christ to come and make all things new. And the Psalms have given voice to that for years. They gave voice to the longing of the Israelites for their Messiah to come and set them free from oppression and slavery. And they continue to resonate in our hearts as we long for Christ's second coming. They were ancient songs of hope and peace, joy, love, and ultimately glory to our King Jesus. They have stirred and will continue to stir the hearts of God's people to worship of King Jesus, the one who has come and the one who will come again. Pastor Matt walked us through Psalm 110 last week, and our longing hearts longing for hope, and we got to see that we have hope. It has been promised to us of what is to come. And this week we look at Psalm 23 and our longing for peace. Peace that our hearts are longing for. Peace. What does peace mean to you? Where does your heart long for peace? Think about that for a second. We all know that it's down there like, good night, I'd really like some peace right now. Is it at work? My boss is a jerk. My coworkers aren't pulling their weight. Demanding customers, profits, losses. At home, our kids are acting a fool. My spouse is distant. Dog won't stop peeing on the floor. Money's tight. My parents are aging. We got to figure out what to do there. In culture, we hear wars are waging. Abuse of the vulnerable is rampant. Human slavery, education systems are broken. You got Shelbyville Road. Social media fads, politics, tariffs, inflation. And we just want to cry out, come, Lord Jesus. All these things just come on us over and over and over again. And the enemy loves to create chaos. Even in the good things that we enjoy and celebrate, it tends to draw our hearts away from worshiping the one that we were created to worship in the first place. So every person in here heard something in that list that you said, yeah, that's right. Oh, please, peace. Come, Lord Jesus. Our hearts long for peace, for shalom. See, our hearts in their longing and fallen state will try to find peace anywhere they can. Shortcuts at work, people pleasing, disconnecting at home and finding ways to escape, screens, sports, comparison with our neighbors, yoga, meditation. And while many of those will give you momentary respite from what's going on, momentary solace and quiet, true and lasting peace, shalom, will not be found there. It will only be found in the one who was sent to bring it. So our word for peace in English is really a simple word. And when we think of it, most of the time our mind goes to a lack of chaos, stillness, or calm, a babbling brook running through a meadow with a deer standing beside it, a cup of coffee on the porch in the morning before the world wakes up, a beautifully decorated Christmas tree with a fire going and a cup of hot chocolate sitting on a couch. Those things, that's peaceful. And while those are peaceful, they're not the full picture. They're only a glimpse. So the Hebrew word that's translated most of the time as peace, shalom. I'm not even going to try to really put the Hebrew emphasis in there. We're just going to go with shalom for the rest of the sermon. But it's so much more than those things. It's robust. It represents wholeness and well-being, security, harmony, order. Things being the way that God intended them to be from the beginning. So let me read you what shalom actually sounds like. You can even close your eyes if you'd like. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't that sound like peace? That's shalom. Isn't it ironic that in this season of Christmas and Advent, that it has become the opposite of that? And that's a rabbit trail that I will not go down. But today I want to talk about fighting that draw to get hung up in the hustle and the bustle, all the things that are mostly good that pull our hearts away from the peace that was intended for us. So let's look at the psalm. For any of you that may be new, this is your first time hearing this, the book of Psalms was like a Spotify playlist for the people of Israel. So many of them written by King David, songs and poems and prayers written to God that people have used for centuries to be able to say the things that their heart just couldn't come up with the words for. Kind of like a love song for that special someone. So, and in that same vein, Psalm 23 would be like the Billboard top one for 3,000 years running. People keep coming back, of all the Psalms, people keep coming back to Psalm 23. And why is that? You heard me read it. It oozes peace and serenity with a promise at the end of a blessing. The Israelites would keep coming back to this. We keep coming back to this. When I ask someone, what's your favorite psalm? You ask a kid, what's your favorite psalm? Psalm 23 comes up over and over and over again because it's short and it's sweet. It speaks to the longing in our hearts and our souls for peace. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a statement that could just stand completely on its own. It's a strong statement. But David didn't just leave it there and couldn't just say that. He couldn't make it short and sweet. He goes on to support it. See, David was a shepherd. Before he became a king, he was a shepherd boy. So this wasn't a stretch for him to think of Yahweh, for God, to be a shepherd to his people, our protector, our provider, our leader. And it wasn't a stretch for him to think of the people as sheep, since he had spent so much time with them. They're needy and weak, vulnerable, prone to wander. We need a shepherd, and we have one. And not only a shepherd, not just a shepherd, but a really good shepherd. One that provides for all of our needs because he knows them. So what does this shepherd do? Let me tell you. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He knows what we need, and then he takes us there. He leads us to that. Green pastures, still waters. It's a buffet with a bed in the middle of it. It's like if Cracker Barrel had cots. Luscious green grass and calm, clear water. The meadow and the babbling brook, it's peace. It makes me want to take a nap just thinking of it. That is peace. So our shepherd, he doesn't stop there though. And while he certainly provides for our physical needs, he also provides for our spiritual needs. See, our need for purpose, our need for community, our need to be reconciled to our Creator, to the one and only true living God himself. So as we were separated at the fall, we need a way back that we couldn't provide. And we couldn't even find it on our own. Our shepherd has to lead us to find that. Verse 3, he restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is the giver of life. He provides it. He protects it. He protects it rightly. And here's the key that I often miss. And I think as a culture we often miss, it's not because we're deserving of anything. We're just measly sheep. It is for his name's sake, for the glory of God Almighty, that he does all of these things. It is out of his goodness and his benevolence to us to give us these things, to provide for us. He's the good shepherd, and that's why he does it, not because of anything that we have done to deserve it. It's for his glory, him providing for us. Him giving us peace brings him glory. And we are certainly on the good end of that deal. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So it's not just green meadows and chicken fried steak, rainbows and butterflies. He speaks to the gloom as well. He doesn't just paint this beautiful picture. He acknowledges that there's going to be hard. Have any of you walked through the valley of the shadow of death? It looks a little different to everybody. We've all been in a place where it felt like the world was just crumbling down around us, where things just couldn't go right. And if you haven't been there, just hold on tight to this verse because it's coming. The valley of the shadow of death, death of a dream, death of a job, death of a relationship, death of a loved one, a child, even being faced with your own death, the valley of the shadow of death. And in a group this size, chances are someone in here is walking through that valley right now. And that's a somber reminder of our need, a shepherd, to walk through that with us. This is a place of deep and heavy gloom, despair. But be encouraged, there is a shepherd that is walking right next to you that cares deeply for the place that you are, and he has experienced every bit of despair and gloom that you are currently experiencing. So I don't just say, chin up, you'll make it through to the other side. I say, lean on the shepherd. Look to him. Tell him your fears. Tell him how it hurts. He is with you. You don't have to fear. And I say this to my kids all the time. If God's got us, nothing can get us. That's a truth. Because he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff will comfort you. His strength, his direction, the kind nudge of our shepherd helps us know that he is there and nudges us towards him and towards the right path. If this is you this morning, let somebody know. Scott mentioned earlier, there'll be pastors and elders down here this morning after the service that are happy to talk with you, to pray with you. Do not walk through this valley alone. It's a dark place. It's a dangerous place. This is a room full of people who would love to pray for you, pray with you, to talk you through that. But you will come out on the other side, and there will be peace waiting on that. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. See, here is the imagery change from that of a shepherd to that of a generous host, lavishing blessing on us and doing it in front of our enemies. This shows us security, that God's saying, they're with me. They're mine, and look at what I'm doing for them. Look at this feast that I've prepared. Look at how good I am in front of our enemies, and death being our ultimate enemy, who has no power over us anymore because of what God has done and is currently doing for us and providing for us. So far, David has shown us that our shepherd knows our needs. He leads us to the provision for those needs. He walks with us through the gloom and gives generously. And here he wraps it up in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ultimate blessing, peace, shalom. Wholeness, harmony, order, security, blessing. Those are the good things that our hearts are longing for, not just lack of chaos. That our Creator God has put a desire in us for, that only He can provide. So when David wrote this psalm, he was referring to the God of Israel, of Yahweh. And on this side of history, after the Messiah has come, we have a fuller picture of what this actually entails. A fuller picture than even the writer, than David was able to see. We see the baby in the manger become the shepherd that walked through the valley and turned into the King of Kings that we worship. So that's all well and good, but what do we do with it? We can hear that, we can be encouraged by it, but what does it actually do? Our hearts are still longing for peace. I can hear your words, but what does this mean for finding it? It means, for one, take hope. Like Pastor Matt said last week, hope is waiting for us on the other side. We know that it's to come. It's there. It's waiting for us in Christ. It has been provided for us. So first off, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning and have never made that decision to make him the Lord of your life, you won't be able to find this peace without that. He gives it freely, but you must trust in him and turn from sin. Then and only then will you know true and lasting peace. And if this is the first time you're hearing this, you probably got some questions. What does that mean? Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that. I would love to help you get answers to that. There's a lot of people in this room that would love to help you get answers for that. Ask. That's all it is. Be curious. To you, Christian, who is longing for that peace, who've experienced that peace maybe at one time and just everything else has got in there and just blocked it out, you have the source. You have the peace that endures. 2 Peter 1:3 lists what we've been given. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Provision and promise of blessing. Peter is talking to the church here, talking to believers that God knew what we needed and he granted it before we even knew. We have been given all that we need in Christ, in who he is, in the person of Jesus. He tells us how to thrive, and then he tells us of the blessing to come. Practical steps that we can do now in this Advent season and beyond. One, talk to the shepherd. Prayer. Bring your cares to him. Prayer will dissipate the racket. I've never heard anyone say, when I pray, I just get so anxious and afraid and worried. Because when we pray, our heart turns to God. Our anxieties and our just issues and stuff, we take them to the Lord. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. He's there waiting. And don't just talk to him, allow him to speak to you. We've got this word right here from the Lord. Allow him to speak to you through the scriptures. Get quiet. Turn off the noise. Read scripture. Listen to scripture. Listen to music that glorifies him. I have to remind myself of this when I'm in my truck. Turn off the podcasts and just let scripture be read over me. Serve in this season. Take time to serve others and see them in their need. See your fellow man. And not just the poor, but just your fellow man, just your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family. Find a small way to show kindness. Find a big way to show kindness. To extend peace to others. Offer to pray for somebody and actually do it. Do it right there in the moment or do it later on that night. Speak a blessing over someone in this season. You will find peace there. Speak truth to others. The ultimate gift has been given to us. To us, a son was given. Share that truth this season. We talk about how hard it is, and it can be awkward to share the gospel with somebody. This is the season that it's just served up to you on a platter. We've got Christmas painted around you everywhere you go, in one way or another. Ask a coworker or a friend or a family member, what does Christmas actually mean to you? And don't do it with an agenda. Just be curious and start a conversation with somebody. Because two things can happen with that. One, they can tell you about a generous father who sent his son Jesus to be born humbly in a manger, and live a perfect life and die on a cross for our sins, and your heart can be encouraged by that. Or they can tell you the reason for the season is general goodwill and spending time with family. And you can say, man, those are really good things, but let me tell you about the best thing. And you get an opportunity to walk into that and to walk with them through that and tell them about who is this Christ in Christmas. This season is busy. Parties, shopping, decorating, cleaning, all good things and all things that are part of the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. The enemy wants nothing more than to create chaos and disunity among the people of God. He wants the exact opposite of peace. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. Fight for peace. Fight your sin, your fleshly desire to create it on your own. Allow the peace of God to work in your heart. To see the goodness of who he is. Our hearts are longing for it. You feel it. When you feel that longing, that deep ache for peace, for shalom, acknowledge it. Call it out. When all the things are just coming, call out, Lord Jesus, help me. I need peace. I need shalom. When you catch that fifth red light on Shelbyville Road, Lord, help me. I need peace. I need shalom. He will give it to you. A taste now and fully in the time to come. This Advent, when you feel that longing, remember this prophecy from Isaiah. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. God, we acknowledge, Lord, that our hearts are longing for peace. God, and we confess, Lord, that we look for it in so many places that we will not find it in. God, I confess for trying to find it in so many places that I will not find it. God, give us glimpses of peace in this season. God, give us peace. And help us, Lord, to share it with those around us. Help us to celebrate and enjoy in that peace while all the world around us crumbles. Thank you for our good shepherd, for the Messiah. God, we celebrate his coming. And God, we look so forward to him coming again and making all things new, putting it all in order and bringing us peace, Lord. Thank you. Amen.